All right, to quote Happy Gilmore, speaking to the late, great Chubbs, and actually late, great Carl Weathers, I was wrong, you were right, I'm stupid, you're smart, I'm the worst, you're the best, you're very good looking, I'm not very attractive. That is my apology to Russell Wilson. As we sit here on Tuesday night at 7:06 p.m. It's the Fan Evening Show right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. My name's Jack Hillgrove. Fired up to be with you tonight until 10:35. Breaking down the Steelers' 37-15 win over the Jets on Sunday Night Football. Looking ahead to the other New York football club coming to town on Monday. Breaking down Mike Tomlin's press conference from earlier today, and also a mixture of things going on tonight. The Penguins and the Flames at 9:30. We'll get into that as game time approaches a little bit. The World Series starting on Friday. The Dodgers, the Yankees. Interested to see what you guys make of that. If you have some time to tweet us or text us or call us about what you think about Market 1 and Market 2 squaring off in the Fall Classic. The NBA opening up season tonight. It really gets into things tomorrow. With pretty much everybody else, but some games tonight. I know producer Joel Nelson's fired up about it. I enjoy the NBA, and I'll entertain an NBA conversation with you later on. And Pitt football, undefeated, 19th in the land. They welcome Syracuse to town on Thursday in a big conference showdown. A little bit of an elongated break. They didn't play Saturday. They got a Thursday night matchup with the Cues at Acrisure Stadium this week. And Pitt basketball, sort of opening up the season tonight with an exhibition at home against Point Park before the real season begins, I believe, on Friday, November the 1st. I have to double-check the schedule, but I believe the first game of the season is coming up in a couple of weeks. Again, I'm Jack Hillgrove. I'm going to be talking about all of that, but of course, focusing on the Pittsburgh Steelers to start this show, and the bulk of the show will be obviously focusing on the Pittsburgh Steelers. 37-15, obviously the win over the New York Jets on Sunday. And I opened the show with the Happy Gilmore quote because I was very much in the camp of Justin Fields entering Sunday night's game against New York, as I think a lot of you were. And how could you blame us, right? I mean, you look at what Justin Fields put on tape, you look at the 4-2 record, you look at the high completion percentage to little to no turnovers, one interception earlier in the season against the Chargers. And you felt content with it. And you felt like you want to see what this guy has to bring to the table. Can he get better as the season progresses? Because he's 25 years old and he has the potential to unlock something that, you know, might be your future franchise quarterback. We all thought that, and Mike Tomlin rolled the dice. Mike Tomlin stuck to his guns. Mike Tomlin opted to go with the guy that we all heard about having pole position coming into the season to be a starter, to be the starter at quarterback. And a lot of us said, whoa, Fields has this team 4-2. He's athletic. He can move. He's taking care of the football. Let's see where we can go with this thing. And at the first quarter and a half or so, it seemed like all of us Fields deniers, I won't call us haters, or Wilson deniers, I won't call them haters, because I think, at least for my sake, I just preferred Justin Fields to Russell Wilson at that time. And through the first like quarter and a half, it certainly seemed like it was trending that way. Russ was like 2-for-9 passing. And then Beanie Bishop had his interception, second really interception of the contest, and it really opened the floodgates for the Steelers to pour 37 on the Jets. Second time in second straight weeks that the Steelers put 30 on the board, and it's the first time, I believe, since 2020 that they put together back-to-back 30-point performances. Russ, I thought, was outstanding. And the last 2.5 quarters of football, 264 through the air, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, took care of the football. You saw more poise. You saw more veteran presence and you saw more ability to stretch the football down the field, i.e. George Pickens. So because of that, I apologize to Russell Wilson, and now I'm flip-flopped. I think you see what Russ can untap for the remainder of the season, and as the schedule gets harder, you just heard the great Jeff Hathorn and Landon Roberts talking about Philadelphia and being the toughest fan base to play against. The Steelers have to play Philadelphia. The Steelers have to play Kansas City, and the Steelers have to play six divisional games still on the season. The schedule's going to get tough. And based off of what I saw out of Russell Wilson last night, I go with that experience, that veteran leadership, that ability to throw the football instead of Justin Fields as the schedule gets harder. Now, and a couple of weeks ago, if you remember hearing me, we talked about the wheels potentially falling off the wagon for Justin Fields, and then you'd have to go to Russell Wilson. It could happen. The wheels could fall off the wagon for Russ. He's 36 years old. We saw him struggle the last 2 years in Denver. I get all that. But I am very, very encouraged on what I saw on Sunday night. I want to hear your thoughts at 412-928-9370 on what you saw out of Russell Wilson. And does your opinion change? If you are a Fields guy, are you like me? Are you flipping ship? Are you jumping ship? Or are you sticking to your guns and saying, no, I want to see more out of the former Buckeye. I didn't really give two craps about what Russell Wilson did on Sunday night. And you could be like Steve Palazzolo. I heard the PM team play that clip on my way in to the studio tonight. Steve Palazzolo just basically poo-pooing on Russell Wilson's performance and said it was more so George Pickens and the receivers than it was Russ, which I completely disagree with. And we'll get into that as the show goes on as well. Obviously, Mike Tomlin talked today. It's his weekly presser. And a couple of things to me stuck out. And we'll get to those in a moment. But we have a call at 412-928-9370 in California. It's Sweeper on the Fan. What's up, man? How you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good now because I'm a longtime listener. But I called in last week because they're discussing the Fields of Russell Wilson. And I said, Tomlin has to see what he's got in Russell Wilson before this year is over. He can't wait. And it turned out well.
It did turn out well. And I think we just lost him. Thanks for the call, Sweeper. Yeah, I'm going to give Mike Tomlin his flowers. And normally, you know, I get sick and tired of when the national media praises the living bejesus out of Mike Tomlin. Oh, he's never had a losing season. Oh, if the Steelers got rid of him, 28 other or 29 other teams in the NFL would love to have Mike Tomlin as their coach. And all of us in Pittsburgh hear that and get sick of it because for whatever reason, the national media loves to not talk about this team not winning a playoff game since 2016. To me, when I talk to the people that work here, people that work at other outlets, people that love the Steelers in general, my buddies, that's all we talk about is why this team hasn't won a playoff game in nearly a decade. So if you thought and were sick of the way that the national media talked about Mike Tomlin before this, on paper, you look at what he did. 4-2 with a young, promising quarterback that looks like he kind of found something that he didn't have in Chicago where he really struggled. And you throw that all out the window for a 36-year-old Russell Wilson, and for the moment, it seems to have paid off. Mike Tomlin's going to get doused with praise by the national media, even more so, at least I think, if we're not already hearing it. But with that said, like I said, as much as I hate to hear all of that because of the lack of playoff success, I welcome it this time around, and I'm willing to give Mike Tomlin his flowers. Spencer's in Wexford. Hey, man.
Hey. I think Mike Tomlin deserves his fair share of criticism, but also and you got to give Fields his flowers, but Wilson killed it last night. And I think if at all, at the end of the season, if we get one playoff win, it's worth it. I think we've been stagnant as an organization for the past couple of years. I think that playoff wins are Super Bowl, and I just want to be back to winning playoff games, and I love the decision from Mike Tomlin.
Thanks for the call, Spencer. A Super Bowl is a Super Bowl. Don't love that comment, but I get what he's saying. You just need to get back into the swing of things of winning playoff games. Do I think the Steelers can make a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson right now? No. But that's the standard that I still hold this organization to. I don't know about you guys and girls out there listening that love the Steelers like I do. Super Bowls are Super Bowls. Mike Tomlin today talked about a couple of things that stuck out, and we'll get into that as the show rolls along, especially in these next two segments. The first thing that stuck out to me, and I think it stuck out to a lot of people, was the conversation that Tomlin had with New York, the league office, about Minkah Fitzpatrick's leverage call on that blocked extra point that was negated, and then obviously the Jets went for two and got it. The league told him what he said he suspected on Sunday night in stadium is that they screwed up, and that was not a leverage call. That's a good, clean play, and Fitzpatrick blocked the field goal. You know, and Tomlin talked about, oh, you know, we all make mistakes, things of that nature, but what are we doing? Like, if you were like me watching that game and you saw that play get on, that the play unfold, Jets go for two, they run the vintage Aaron Rodgers play action. Joel, you ever see the guy on TikTok that imitates Aaron Rodgers?
I have not seen whoever that is.
When I saw that play action fake in the throw to Conklin, it was like a spitting image. If you know, you know. If you're out there and you're on TikTok like I am and you see that guy, you're like, yes, I know exactly what he's talking about. The delayed and then the rollout. When all of that unfolded and I saw the Steelers give up that two-point conversion to go down, what, 15-6? I thought they were going to lose 15-14. And I thought that that play was going to define the football game. Because what I saw to Russell Wilson up to that point didn't encourage me. And then obviously Beanie Bishop did Beanie Bishop, and the offense kind of took off from there. A couple of other things that Tomlin talked about today. Mon Adams out. D-line a little bit thin, although I thought they played pretty darn well, with the exception of Breece Hall going over 100 yards receiving. You know, they only hold the Jets to 15 points and Aaron Rodgers to 15 points. What is interesting, though, is Tomlin talked about Cordarrelle Patterson and Tyler Matakevich, but mainly Cordarrelle Patterson getting back into the fold this week. And with how the offense has shifted, how the schemes and how the style of play, at least I think, has shifted from Fields to Wilson, how Patterson fits into that equation. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. Dante Jackson probably will play. DeMonte Casey sounds like he's going to be a full participant through this week, so that's another addition to the secondary. I'm excited to see if he can get on the field at the same time as Deshaun Elliott, who I think has been awesome for the Steelers so far this year. And then it sounds like Nick Herbig and Zach Frazier will both be out. But Tomlin did give a quote-unquote double thumbs up to Ryan McCollum, who's going to have a tough, tough job this week. And we'll talk about that with Nick Faribault of PennLive.com at 8 o'clock and more so as the show rolls along. I want to hear your calls, your thoughts on the Steelers, your thoughts on Russell Wilson, 412-928-9370. Matt has been waiting patiently. He's in Dormont. Hey, man.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking me.
You got it.
You know, I think it's a good analogy, not to get too political, but you know, when they said, like, look how many jobs we created after COVID, and you're like, I know it was COVID. It's the same thing with coming out of Matt Canada's offense. Like, look at George Pickens. It's like, well, what are you comparing him to? Of course. I mean, he was never really tested, is what I think. And to see him come alive, I mean, even his demeanor is so much happier. I mean, I know we're winning games. But, you know, if someone wants to say, well, it's more about the receivers, maybe so. But I think a happy George Pickens, we have yet to see what this potential can be.
Especially an elongated version of happiness from that guy. It seems like he'll go off and be, you know, happy-go-lucky and then the most miserable guy in the league. Matt, based off of what you saw on Sunday night, does it change maybe how you assess the receiver's room? Do you still think or think not that the Steelers should add to that position? Because that's something I want to get into tonight as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the million-dollar question, really. I mean, people say in the national media, well, the Steelers don't have a number one. And I come back to the same thing. Well, what are we comparing it to? Are we comparing 2023 stats with the Matt Canada offense for half the season? I would say we have no idea if we have a number one. Now, can, you know, balancing the veteran Russell Wilson with another veteran coming in, I could see a lot of potential for that. But even if we don't, I won't be too mad. When Brandon Ayuk didn't work out, I wasn't that mad. When Devontae Adams didn't work out, I wasn't that mad. And now, you know, here we are. We had a great game on Sunday night, and we're looking to the future when Russell Wilson can get these guys the ball.
Matt, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you joining us this evening. That's something that I want to talk about, and we can take a break and we can open up the phone lines for that. That has been the million-dollar discussion when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers ever since Deontay Johnson was traded and when the Steelers didn't take a wide receiver until Roman Wilson in round three, who has been, I kind of forgot about Roman Wilson even being on the team because he's had injuries, and it sounds like that the progress isn't there from the eyes of Mike Tomlin. What the hell are the Steelers doing with their second option at wide receiver? And it became more prevalent when the whole Brandon Ayuk saga unfolded and closed. And then as the season started, lack of production from Van Jefferson, flash in the pan from Calvin Austin, virtually nothing out of Scotty Miller, blatant hole. I was, you know, let's spend a second. Let's spend a third. Let's get a wide receiver in here. Now, assuming that this is sustainable, assuming that Sunday night and the offensive output that Russell Wilson put together and Arthur Smith put together, I'm not wasting a second or a third round pick on a wide receiver. Why? Najee Harris ran the football and has run the football the last 2 weeks better than at least I think I've seen in his career. Jaylen Warren is slowly starting to get a little bit more healthy. The screen pass and the quick turnaround from Wilson to Warren, the quick move for a first down later in the ball game that I saw, I'm like, okay, it looks like Jaylen Warren's at 100%, if not pretty damn close. Those two, plus Cordarrelle Patterson getting back into the fold, and the ability to run the football and the ability to run it effectively and then thus use play action, and the play action opens up guys like Van Jefferson and like Calvin Austin, in addition to George Pickens being so damn dominant sometimes. I'm not sure that I want to waste a second or a third round pick on a guy like Cooper Kupp, who I know his name's been swirling around there, and Andrew and Chris were talking about in the PM team today. There isn't a receiver out there for me that is a reasonable get that I think is worth it. And I want to get your thoughts coming up next. It's the Fan Evening Show. My name is Jack Hillgrove, Fan Text Line. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Follow us at 93.7 The Fan. You can follow me at JackWTOV9. Joel Nelson behind the glass with yours truly until 10:35 tonight. Greg, I saw you just called in. You're on hold. We'll get to you and we'll get to more of you on the other side of the break. I'm Jack Hillgrove and I'm on Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. Score at the Pete right now. Pitt basketball opening up the season sort of exhibition against now Division II Point Park, 39-33. Pitt up 6, under 4 to go in the first half. Starting lineup tonight for the Panthers was Ishmael Leggett, Jalen Lowe, Guillermo Diaz-Graham, Cameron Corin, and Zach Austin. Damian Dunn, the transfer out of Houston. Corn's a transfer to Florida State. Brandon Cummings, the freshman and brother of Nelly Cummings, and Jorge Diaz-Graham, the three that got time off the bench so far. Leggett has 12, Lowe has 10. Again, Pitt up 6, under 4. We'll talk about the Panthers basketball program. We'll talk about the football team later on in the show. My grandpa, Bill Hillgrove, kind enough to join us at about 9:20 tonight on the way home from the basketball scrimmage tonight. And we'll talk about a lot of that stuff. But we're talking about the Steelers right now at 412-928-9370. And my name's Jack Hillgrove, if you're unfamiliar. Do the Steelers still need to trade for a wide receiver? And is what that's out there that a lot of the, you know, articles and national media heads that are talking about potential guys that are available for other teams, you know, like the 49ers, I know, might be in the market for a receiver with Brandon Ayuk done, the Chiefs being talked about, the Steelers too. Is there a name out there that entices you still based off of what you saw on Sunday night? Greg and John are on hold. John, we'll get to you in a moment. We'll first go to Greg. Hey, Greg.
How you doing, Mr. Hillgrove?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for giving us a buzz.
I'm fine, my brother. I don't think the Steelers have to look for a receiver.
I'm with you.
Use the people that you got. That was the problem with the other quarterback. He couldn't use the other receivers. He was stuck on number 14, and 14 wasn't acting right. So now here comes But man, then he's throwing the ball to everybody. Number 11 caught some passes. Other guy caught some passes. Number 19 should be catching some passes. You know, number 19 is supposed to be a speedster.
Yep.
He's the only speedster I noticed in the background, way in the background. He should be on the forefront. Number 19 is supposed to be a speedster. Now, you got your receivers. Use them. Don't go looking for nothing else.
Yeah, no, Greg, I'm with you, and thanks for the buzz. Always enjoy talking to you. Yeah, what's out there doesn't entice me. Cooper Kupp for a second-round pick. Blech. Now, once upon a time, Cooper Kupp was as good as it got in the NFL, but, and Mulsey talked about this today, the injury history, especially recently, and the age for a second-round pick ain't worth it. Another name that's out there, Darius Slayton. He's going to be targeted, and I like Darius Slayton a lot. I think he's a viable number two in this offense if you're committing to George Pickens being your guy, which I think they should. But Slayton's going to be targeted by the Chiefs most likely, maybe even the 49ers. Maybe another team out there that I'm not thinking of at the moment. So you might have to outbid somebody for Darius Slayton, for the Giants. So if a team offers a fourth, you might need to give up a third or a second. And I don't think it's worth it for what the Steelers are bringing to the table offensively right now. John, thanks for staying patient, man.
No problem. Thanks for taking my call. So I'd say I disagree with, I think, what your take is on the previous caller, and I think the Steelers do need to add another receiver, and I'll tell you why. And this is not to take anything away from Sunday night, because I was thrilled with it. I thought it was the best the Steelers have looked in literally years. But the Jets secondary is very banged up. And also, we weren't seeing, with the exception of that late Calvin Austin pass, it's not like you saw guys just wide open. I mean, it was just Pickens making just incredibly athletic plays. So I think we need another receiver, A, and I think we need it because I think the Steelers, really, they ought to be in kind of a win-now mindset. I know,
sure,
you know, they kind of always are in that mindset in a sense, but I think they have a window this year. You got Russell Wilson. I guess the verdict's still a little bit out on him, but if he can play like he did Sunday night, he's a guy with double-digit playoff wins in his career. He knows how to win. The defense is championship caliber. And I know Kansas City is undefeated, and they're the Chiefs at the end of the day, but they look very beatable. Baltimore is probably, well, not even probably, they're definitely a better team than the Steelers, but that ultimately doesn't matter, as we know. I mean, the Steelers can beat them anytime they play them, just, you know, for some strange reason. And then you have Buffalo, who is certainly good, but they're not what they were a couple years ago. The Steelers can beat anybody in the AFC, I think. But they need to add somebody in order to get over that hump. If they really want to make a championship push, which I think they're capable of this year, I really do, but they need to add another weapon to do that. And Kupp, I think, is a good choice. And I'd pay.
But John, he hasn't played. You're not playing. You're not trading for Cooper Kupp in 2018. You're trading for Cooper Kupp in 2024, who's 30 plus years old and he's on the shelf. Like you'd give up a second round pick for a 30 plus year old wide receiver and injury history?
I'm not saying I'd give up a second round pick for him necessarily, but I'd try to get him, and I'd be aggressive in my attempt to go get him or somebody else. You know, whether it's, you mentioned Slayton, Mike Williams is still on the board, I guess. I mean, he's certainly not as significant of a piece as Kupp might be.
So, John, here's the thing.
You know,
so,
I mean, if he can stay healthy, he's still, I know he's 30 plus, but if he's healthy, he's a beast in the run game, and I think he would fit in just fine, perfectly in the offense that Smith is running.
He's got to get on the field, though, John. He's got to get on the field. He's 30-plus years old, and I appreciate the call. He's 30-plus years old, and he hasn't been on the field this year. And the other thing, too, is Arthur Smith going to take Darnell Washington off the field? And I know that you might hear that and think, oh, come on. But that's not the system that Arthur Smith wants to run. And I don't think Mike Tomlin wants to run either. If you watched and listened to him speak in his press conference today, he talked about having an effective running game and having an effective play action because of that. And even cited Derrick Henry in the Baltimore Ravens in that light as well. Mike Tomlin loves Derrick Henry. That is, I don't think, a secret. Mike Tomlin has raved about that guy time and time again. And rightfully so. You know who else loves Derrick Henry is the Steelers offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith. That's either here or there. But that's the kind of thing that the Steelers want to do. The Steelers want to effectively run the football. The Steelers want to, because they can effectively run the football, have effective play action. The Steelers also think that they can win football games that way. And we saw him put up, what, 69 points in the last two games? Nice. 69 points in the last two games with that philosophy. And the other thing, too, is Cordarrelle Patterson, while the kickoff rule changed and Cordarrelle Patterson is one of the better kickoff return men in the NFL, he wasn't just brought in to return kicks, folks. He was brought in because he's familiar with Arthur Smith and the offense and can run the ball effectively still at his age and be used in this offense, I think, more effectively than a Cooper Kupp or a Darius Slayton, who plays for another team right now. And John also talked about guys not being wide open enough. That first drive, Darnell Washington on play action had all kinds of space. And 6'8", whatever, 6'8", 250, however the heck big he is, barreled down the field for a 15-yard gain. That's the kind of passing game you're going to see from the Steelers. That's the kind of passing game you saw from Russell Wilson the last 2 years in Denver. Not as effective as I think it could be in Pittsburgh, but you couple that with the ability to throw it down the field to George Pickens, who's going to win more one-on-one battles than he'll lose. I'm okay with that. Over giving up a second or a third round pick for a guy like Cooper Kupp or Darius Slayton. Keith in Somerset. Hey, Keith.
What do you think about the Steelers trading for a receiver versus using Connor Hayward and kind of what you were saying with they're now Washington a little more in the offense and seeing what those weapons turn into as maybe a tight end that is a receiver?
That's just the system that Arthur Smith has run and has been comfortable running and has been successful running in Atlanta. In Tennessee, not so much Atlanta, but the Steelers have put up 69 points in the last 2 weeks with Arthur Smith calling the plays. And Arthur Smith's a guy that will use two tight ends over three wide receivers. So to me, you know, you're not, if the Steelers were to add another wide receiver, it's not necessarily, I think, beneficial to what they're trying to do, because I think they value a guy like Connor Hayward or Darnell Washington more than a receiver on another team that they'd have to trade a second or a third round pick for.
I'd just be curious to see if they start to use like Freiermuth and Hayward more split outside, what that would do with defensive coverages and schemes like that as a way to open up the passing game a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, you saw it, what, in the Cowboys game, Fields put, at least I thought, that ball right on the money, and Hayward was streaking down the sideline and should have made that catch. You're going to see more of that, and I think you'll see it a little bit with Freiermuth as well, because he's athletic enough to do those things. You'll start to see that as the offense, I think, with Russell Wilson in stadium, as Mike Tomlin likes to call it, become more comfortable. And I think you saw, what, if you watched the game on Sunday night, Keith, I think the way that Russell Wilson struggled in the beginning very much was him just dusting off some cobwebs, because he hasn't played, you know, in a meaningful regular season game in almost a year.
Oh, yeah, I knew the first half was going to take a couple quarters just to get the training wheels off, you know, and, you know, get back to form.
Yeah, and I think that that's exactly what, you know, the positive momentum for the Steelers to use moving forward. Keith, I appreciate the call. Where do you stand at 412-928-9370? The Steelers needed a wide receiver? I say no. I say you stick to your guns, at least for one more week. If they can put 30-plus on the Giants, who I think aren't very good, and win in convincing fashion like they did on Sunday, like I think they can because of how good Mike Tomlin is on Monday nights. And Mike Tomlin said something about that today, too, that we can get into after the break that I thought was very interesting. I'm fine. I don't need a receiver. What say you at 412-928-9370? You could tweet me at JackWTOV9. You could also text us at the same number. PetFest 24, presented by Subaru. It's back October 27th at Rockwell Park in the East End. The event, it runs from 9:30 in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You can bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, participate in costume contests, get photos with Santa, and join in the blessing of the pets at 9:30 a.m. Donations at the door benefit the Salvation Army. PetFest is brought to you by Bully Max Dog Food and Forever Lawn. And for more information on that, you can check out 937thefan.com. I want to hear from you on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I'm Jack Hillgrove. It's Sports Radio 937 The Fan. We're buzzing tonight, Jolie. NBA tip-off. Celtics up 7 early in the first quarter over the Knicks. Penguins on at 9:30, and then on the TV to our left here in the studio, Florida International and Sam Houston State from Pitbull Stadium at FIU, who is rocking their Vice U alternate jerseys, like the pink and the powder blue. They're awesome. And FIU's quarterback just got rocked. Oh my goodness. Tough hit. All right. I'm Jack Hillgrove. It's the Fan Evening Show. We're talking about the Steelers and the wide receivers and the idea of adding another wide receiver. And if you have an opinion on the topic, I'd be happy to hear from you. You know the number. I think a lot of you out there look at it through the lens of there just not being a second guy that we know is there. And what I mean by that is you go back and you look at the teams of past, especially last year. Deontay Pickens, boom, boom, 1-2, clear cut. You had Deontay, Chase Claypool, sprinkled Juju in there. You go before that, Juju and AB, Manuel Sanders and AB, Hines Ward and AB, Hines Ward, Mike Wallace. There have been 1-2s. There necessarily, I don't think, needs to be a 1-2 at the wide receiver position right now. And am I basing that solely off of the fact that Russell Wilson played very well on Sunday night and the Steelers have scored nearly 70 points in the last two games, something they haven't done in almost 4 years? Yes. But it's a what have you done for me lately league. What has the Steelers done for me and you lately? 1-2 games, scored a crap ton of points, and had competent play calling on the offensive side of the ball. It's worked. Let it work. It's okay to have Van Jefferson catch a touchdown once every couple games. It's okay for Darnell Washington to get incorporated into the pass game like he was on Sunday night. That longer reception, I think it was, 15 yards? 4 receptions for 36 yards. It's okay for Pat Freiermuth to be the second leading receiver on this team. The schemes that they're running, the way that these guys are getting open out of the play action, it doesn't have to be the focal point of the offense. And in a passing league, you might think I'm crazy. But the Steelers have had 2 dominating victories over teams that aren't very good. I will give you that. But the defense has played well, especially in the second half against Vegas and against the Jets. And they're running the football better than they have in the last 4 years, even the last 2 games. Najee Harris by himself. Jaylen Warren got a little bit more involved. 12 carries for 40 yards on Sunday. And that's going to continue. Cordarrelle Patterson's going to get back into the fold. I think you guys that really, really, really want another wide receiver aren't looking at it through the lens of what they have in-house with what they have who they have calling the plays might just be enough. If you score 30-plus points a game, does it matter if you run it 36 times and throw it 29 times like they did against the Jets? No. Let it unfold. Let Russell Wilson become more comfortable. Let Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren become more of a dominant duo in the running game like we saw at the end of last year. Let Cordarrelle Patterson get healthy and get back into that mix. And let George Pickens be the dominant receiver that, A, he wants to be. We've seen the way he acts. We know what he wants. And he backs it up. He backs it up big time, and he backed it up big time against the Jets on Sunday. Let Pat Freiermuth be that second option in the passing game. Sprinkle in Calvin Austin. Get him open on the play action. Get Van Jefferson open. And the other thing, too, go back and look at box scores from when Justin Fields was playing. And I gave Justin Fields a hell of a lot of credit for how he played, as did a lot of you out there. Darnell Washington, 4 receptions for 36 yards. Calvin Austin being found wide open. Van Jefferson catching a touchdown pass. That's not a coincidence on Sunday night when Russell Wilson is throwing the football. Russell Wilson has had the ability as a franchise quarterback in Seattle to make those around him better. And I'm not saying that he's some elite player that like LeBron James, like no matter who's on the floor with LeBron in his prime, you know, they're automatically going to be, you know, a better player because they're playing with King James. I'm not saying that at all. But Russell Wilson, and the way that he conducts himself on the field, the way he conducts himself in that huddle, still at 36 years old, I think has the ability to make Van Jefferson a little bit better, to make Calvin Austin a little bit better, to make Darnell Washington somebody you have to worry about in the passing game. So let's just cool it on the receivers talk, especially for a second and third round pick, which likely is what it's going to take here at the deadline. Collins and Dormont, hey man, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for taking the call. I think you're mostly on the right track here, and I was looking at possible trade targets and, you know, online articles and stuff, ESPN and whatnot, and I think you're right that sending a second for a guy like Cooper Kupp might be too much, but if New England's looking to move a guy like Kendrick Bourne, and you're going to get him for, like, pennies on the dollar, I don't think it's a bad idea, sort of how they operated with the quarterback position, taking very low-risk, low-cost, and potentially high-reward moves.
Yeah.
Like, and Colin, and that's... Kendrick Bourne's a known blocker, and if you're going to be a running first team, getting another known blocker, too, as just a body who can catch balls, I don't think is a bad avenue to pursue.
And I think that's the avenue that they'll take. You know, low risk for Justin Fields, low risk for Russell Wilson. If they did that in the offseason for the quarterback, in season at wide receiver, I think they're going to take the same approach. And because of that, I don't think, and I don't want to get it twisted here. I would take Cooper Kupp over Van Jefferson. I would take Darius Slayton over Van Jefferson, but I wouldn't do it for a second round pick in the middle of the season, especially when I really don't think that adding one of those guys is going to put them over the hump and put them in an AFC championship game right now. If the Steelers were going to add a wide receiver, they should have done it in the offseason. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm glad too, by the way, I'm glad you brought up guys like Pat Freiermuth and Darnell Washington, because I tend to look at wide receiver as more of a pass catcher. And if you have two or three good pass catchers, I don't care what position is in front of their name on the depth chart. So, again, I'd be happy with a low-risk, potentially low-cost, and, like, high-reward guy, just especially as Roman Wilson is working his way into the lineup and working his way into the NFL, somebody with some experience that can catch you two or three balls a game on third down when you need to convert. That might be all we need.
Yeah, and Colin, you hit the nail on the head, brother, at least the way I see it. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. So, interesting about Roman Wilson. One of the things that Mike Tomlin said today that kind of, I talk about the gif of the guy raising his eyebrows, the close-up, but we've all seen it. Roman Wilson, the way that Mike Tomlin worded it, and yeah, I mean, he's been dealing with an injury, but he saw the field against the Raiders. He was active against the Raiders. When asked about Roman Wilson, Mike Tomlin said he needs to work for me to consider him. What does that mean? To me, that almost sounds, and Mike Tomlin, and I could be grasping at straws because the guy keeps cards extremely close to the vest. We all know it. He's done it for 18 years. But to me, that sounds like it's almost not even injury related, and Roman Wilson's just kind of being a bust for a third round pick. He needs to work for me to consider him, to consider being put on the field, to give it a hat on Sundays. It could be injury related, but it didn't sound like it by the way he answered the question. That's just the way I interpreted it. Got to get to a break. One more call before we do so. Pittsburgh Paul. Hey man, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing?
I'm good. I just got some Moe's tacos. I'm heading home, and I appreciate you taking my call.
I always get the stack when I go there, the crunch wrap kind of deal with ground beef and queso. It's phenomenal. Enjoy. What's up?
I got the home wrecker.
Okay, there you go.
So, hey, I have a crazy question. What the heck? I might as well see what you think.
You know what, Paul? I'm feeling wild on this Tuesday night, so I'm all ears. Go ahead.
All right. So we saw Aaron Rodgers. We saw Russell Wilson. This is just hypothetical. Just for this year, if you had your choice moving forward, who would you go with, Aaron or Russell? You only had a small size with Russell. We know what Aaron can do. Ages, forget it. Just the rest of the year, who would you take as your QB?
Russ.
Going with Russ?
I would. I think with what Aaron, if you're bringing it all into the equation, if Aaron Rodgers and everything comes with it, yeah. I like.